John chapter 14, we're going to begin reading at verse number 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would speak to us from it. We recognize the work you're seeking to do in us in so many different areas. Pray that we would yield to that work and have you transform our hearts into what you had to have them become, so that we can be used of you in your service. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And there can be many times in our lives when things happen that we don't expect, things that we would prefer didn't happen, things that were really kind of overwhelming and nerve-wracking. And when things like that happen, we can sometimes wonder, well, what is God doing? And why is he allowing these things to happen to me? And as a believer, so like it is good to ask those questions, but it's something that we want to understand too, that the answer is not something that we have to guess at. Because actually in God's word, the Lord makes it very plain as to why things happen in the way that they do. And of course, there may be some specific reasons we don't understand until much later. Yet as we look into the scriptures, we recognize, and I think need to be reminded, that God is doing a work in each of us. He wants to transform us into Christ's likeness and to equip us for his service. And we kind of hope in life that, well, he's just going to make our life easy and everything's going to go fine. But the thing is, he doesn't promise that. He says that we shall through much tribulation into the kingdom of God. And he allows these things to happen because it's part of his work of transformation. And that's the thing. He's not just seeking to do a work on the outside. He doesn't just want us to try and change the way we talk and the way we dress and the way we act, although that is important. He really wants to work on our hearts. He wants to change us from the inside out. With that, he's wanting to teach us how to respond to life in an entirely different way than we did before. And we live in a world where there is a great deal of turmoil. Many things are happening. We think of it often just in terms of the weather and different things that are happening in this world, of how we think, how we have, normally we have plans for harvest, and usually we're done by end of September, and we're still waiting for good weather, which hopefully will come this week so that we can get done. There's turmoil sometimes because of the weather, there's turmoil because of different natural disasters that may happen. There's turmoil politically often, turmoil financially, and we think of what's going on in our society as a whole, in our community in particular. There's different things that are happening, and as we dwell on those things, it's easy to become worried, to become anxious, even to lose sleep, that our hearts can become troubled. We can become full of care, full of worry, full of anxiety. And it's the thing is, sometimes when things like that, we just kind of panic. We don't know what's going to happen. We instantly start thinking of a worst case scenario. And we can even make ourselves sick with worry. And we realize too that with a world in which there is so much turmoil, there is always a quest for people to have peace and to try to find that inner peace and maintain that. And there's many different things that people use which may or may not work that well. And some people develop different techniques of controlling their breathing. Some focus on yoga or meditation. Some actually take drugs, whether legal or illegal, to try to bring themselves to a place, when they're agitated, to a place of calm. And it's the thing is that everyone's seeking for that peace. They want to have everything in the world be peaceful, and that's not going to happen, we recognize, until Lord Jesus is on the throne as the Prince of Peace and brings peace to this world. But it's that quest that we have, that desire for it. And the thing is, as we look at it as Christians, we want to learn to have a different perspective than the world. Our tendency often is, and our prayer is, that whenever there's trouble, wherever there's turmoil, that God will just step in and fix it and make everything better, that He'll solve all the problems of the world instantly, and then our lives will be just simple and easy, and there's not going to be anything for us to worry about. And we're kind of like the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. We find ourselves in the midst of storms. And in those storms, God seems to be asleep. It seems that He's unconcerned with our plight. And we begin openly questioning if God cares about us, if He's somehow forgotten us. And what we want God to do is to basically step up and say, "Peace, be still." And that everything that's going on that's causing us to worry ceases. And then we can have that peace that we desire. But we want to realize that the problem is not our circumstances. That we often say, "Well, this is causing me to worry." And it's not what's going on the outside. It's what's going on the inside. And we need to understand that we really demand that God calms the storm around us. But the thing is, He wants to calm the storm within us. He wants to say, "Peace, be still," to our hearts. So that even though we are going through turmoil, that we're not panicking, we're not worrying, we're not full of fear, but instead we are full of peace. And that's what we really want to understand, that He's trying to transform us into Christ's likeness. So you think of how Jesus was in the midst of the storm, that He was asleep, that He was not panicked, He was resting. And we understand if we're to be conformed to His image, God wants to bring us to a point where we have the same calmness of response that Jesus did. And you actually think of Rudyard Kipling's poem, "If." The first line of it is, "If you can keep your head when everyone else is losing theirs." And that's what He wants us as Christians to be able to do, is that everyone else might be panicking, but we can remain calm. And so we see in this passage here that Jesus is talking to them and speaking to them concerning peace. And at this point, of course, is He is going to be going away. And He's laid things out to them before of how He's going to be betrayed, He's going to be arrested, He's going to suffer, be crucified, and then He's going to rise again. And of course, they weren't really picking up what He was laying down in a lot of ways, but He's trying to prepare them for all of that and prepare them for the fact that after He rose again, He would be returning to heaven and He would be bringing them another comforter. And so with so much of what He's saying is, don't let your heart be troubled. And that's what we always tend to do, is our heart is always troubled by the events around us. And for the disciples, with everything that was going to happen, it was going to be very troubling to them. But He's trying to teach them not to react in that way. And He's explaining to them that He's going to give them the Comforter that was going to be with them and help them. But we see what He says here. He says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so he's giving them this idea that I am leaving you with peace. And in many ways we understand that in giving them the Holy Spirit, that he gives to them the means of inner peace, because the Holy Spirit indwells us. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, amongst many other things. And it talks about in Romans 8 and verse number 6, that the idea that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so when we have our minds are thinking spiritually and they're focused on the things of God, then we can have peace. And he's saying that, and it's a peace that's different from what the world has to offer. That there's many things that are offered today to give peace, but they don't really work. They don't really are as fulfilling as his. We see further on, later on in here, John chapter 16 and verse 33. He says these words, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That he doesn't promise everything's going to be okay. He lays it out, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." And so we need to expect that. There's going to be difficult days, trying days, things that normally would make us very fearful. But he's saying these things to us that we might have peace. And as it shows there, it's that in me ye might have peace. That he is the source of our peace. And it's the fact is, even though there's tribulation in the world, you don't have to be afraid, because I've overcome the world. And we can find peace in him. And so he's trying to work in us in that way. He wants to develop this within us. And it is a peace that is not as the world gives. And he, we recognize, is the God of peace. He is the true source of peace. And we cannot find true peace apart from him. And so we want to understand that he wants to work in our hearts that normally, as things happen, are full of fear and dread and anxiety and worry. We find instead he wants to fill our hearts with peace. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, it says this, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." That he wants us, we've looked at that already, of the thought he wants to give us joyful hearts, but it's also he wants to give us peaceful hearts, hearts that are full of peace. And so we want to have his peace, not the peace that the world offers. We want his peace, because his peace is greater, his peace is stronger than anything that the world has to offer. And we see in the scriptures that he speaks of his peace in three different ways. And so we just want to consider that briefly. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." This is what we looked at last week, focusing on the idea of being full of thanks. But it's the idea we want to be peaceful, and it speaks here of letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. It also gives a sense that we're called to peace as his people, that is part of our calling. To experience his peace in our lives. And we think of it this way, that God speaks of peace as a ruler. That the peace of God is to really decide, to determine, to correct and control our thoughts. It is really to govern our thinking. And it's actually interesting, the word there, rule in our hearts, in the Greek, it actually gives a sense of an umpire. And so we think of that as something we're familiar with, especially in baseball. that you can have something happens and it's like a questionable call, and one team is saying this, other team is saying this, but the umpire stands up and says, I've made the decision, this is what happened, and that settles everything. And so we think of that, of applying it in that way, of allowing the peace of God to rule in our hearts, where there's all this turmoil that's coming, but the peace of God is present in our lives, and we just say, okay, calm down, this is what the decision is, and there's no more discussion. And it's really kind of the thing, is bringing the game of life under control, that you can kind of see that in any kind of game where the umpire, the referee, isn't doing his job, how out of hand the game can get. But when they're doing their job well, it allows everything to work very well. And so we think of that, first of all, as the peace of God can rule in our hearts. But secondly, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so not only is the peace of God to be a ruler in our lives, it is to be as a keeper in our lives as well. And it's interesting, the word there for keep, it actually has the idea to garrison. And a garrison is a group of soldiers that are given the task to guard a town. And so you can think of it in that way, that many things may seem to threaten us. Just imagine if you had some kind of threat that was coming against you. But if you had a whole group of soldiers accompanying you and being with you, and there would be no reason to fear, that whatever threat would come, they would be able to handle that threat. And it's kind of the interesting thought with that, that he says is that the peace of God serves in that capacity. It just is where we look at life we kind of think of the story of Elisha with his servant, of how there was all these soldiers that came from the Syrians seeking to capture Elisha, and his servant saw this and ran back and said, alas, master, what shall we do? And Elisha said to him, fear not, for there be more that be with us than that be with them. And of course, his servant, that didn't make any sense to him, and so Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And he saw that all surrounding them were chariots of fire, of angels that God had sent for their protection. And it's really kind of the thing is, as we learn to do that, that God's peace can be like that to us. That we just kind of, it helps us to see that we are protected, we are safe, and we don't have to be afraid of anything that's going on. But then thirdly, we want to see, not only is the peace of God like a ruler or like a keeper, it is also like a river. If you turn with me to Isaiah 66 and verse 12. Isaiah 66 and verse 12 says, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. And we want to think of it in that way, peace being like a river. And I remember a time that we lived in near Trail, B.C. River that passes through that city is the Columbia River. It is one, I remember, because a lot of times there's different places where you could go down to the river to fish and other things. And there's different places where there's actually rocks that jut out into the river, and you can kind of be out there and just see the river flow by. And it's just something, just really to spend time and just seeing the power that the river had. That I remember one time I was looking, and it was these kind of leaves, this sort of stick that was kind of floating along. Then all of a sudden it kind of was sort of standing up in the water as it was floating. I wonder, how in the world can it do that? But then I looked more closely, and here it was an entire tree that had fallen down from the bank at some point and was being carried along, and only that little branch was sticking up. But it's tremendous to know just the power that a river has. There's so much, of course, done on the Columbia River to harness that power to provide electricity for the whole area. But it's something that we understand with the river, is just the constant flow that it has, the constant power that it has, that nothing really can stand in its way. That to try to fight against the current is next to impossible. That you're so quickly swept away. And it's kind of the thing of thinking it, because we often have it completely backwards, that we look at the troubles of life and we're filled with turmoil, and we think, well, this is going to overwhelm me, this is going to be more than I can handle, and we tend to think of being swept away almost by the trials and challenges of life. But instead we want to turn it around, that instead the peace of God is as a river, that whatever these challenges may be, that they cannot withstand the power of the river. That they're going to be overwhelmed and eroded away into nothing and drowned in that river that is God's peace. And so that's when we really understand it. God wants to give us peace as a river, that no matter what these things happen, that God's river of peace is just this constant flow of the Holy Spirit giving his peace to us. And all these things that happen, no matter how big they might be, that we're not panicking, we're not worrying about them. We have a calmness, we have a peace that nothing can shake. And so that is what we understand God wants to give to us. He doesn't want to just give us a little bit of peace. He wants to fill our hearts with peace. And so it's something that he's trying to do that. And of course, in order to help us and challenge us, in order to have the Holy Spirit bringing peace into our hearts, is he has to put us through storms. He has to challenge us. And we want to learn that in the midst of the storm, no matter what is happening around us, within we can have that peace. And so we want to learn how to do that. And the scriptures give us several different principles that just quickly I'm going to give to you this morning that I know can be a help to you. If you turn with me first to Isaiah chapter 26, and verse number 3. And I think this is a verse that can be one that to meditate upon, one to memorize, just maybe to help you in times of worry and things, of difficult situations. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That we can find and experience his peace and have our hearts filled with his peace as we keep our minds on him. Because no matter what our problems may be, even if they're very big problems, we always know God's bigger. That he's not caught off guard. It's not something where he was surprised. How did this happen? I never saw this coming. We can never say that of God. He always knows long before what was coming about. And we know that whatever it is, he can handle it. That we think of what he speaks of in 1 Corinthians 10, that God does not suffer us to be tempted above what we're able. He will, with that temptation, always give a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. So whatever happens, we know, okay, he's got this. I don't have to worry. He's making sure this is not more than I can handle by his strength. I need to seek his strength. I need to keep my mind on him. That as I do that, if my mind is stayed on him, if I trust him, then there's not going to be a problem. I don't have to worry. We read in Psalm 4 in verse number 8. Psalm 4 and verse 8, it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That it's kind of the thing, is that we don't need to suffer from insomnia, being worried about what's going to happen. That it's the thing, is that we can trust that the Lord's going to look after us, the Lord's going to protect us. And I know that was something as a child that I really struggled with for a time, was I would go to sleep, but I couldn't sleep because I was worried. And I always had this thought of, what if robbers were to break into our house in the middle of the night? And of course, we were out in the country so far, and we didn't really have much to steal anyways. It was, they wouldn't even have bothered with our place. But it's kind of the thing, is that we can worry ourselves so much, but when we put our minds on the Lord, where we trust in him, then we don't have to be afraid. We can have that peace. We can rest and trust that he's going to look after everything. But we find his peace not only by keeping our mind on the Lord, but also by loving and obeying his word. If you turn with me to Psalm 119, verses 165. Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And it's the thing, is that if we read God's word and study it and meditate upon it, and we love God's word, then we're going to have peace in our lives. And that's a lot of times, is when we are struggling with worry, there can be different verses that we can meditate upon, we can think about, and they can help to calm us down, because we learn to not focus on what's around us, but instead on the Lord, and that we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. But it's the thing, it's not just, if we love the word, we're going to obey the word. And that's very important. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 48, and verse number 18, this is something that God speaks to his people, that he is the Holy One of Israel. Verse 17, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And then he says in verse 18 of Isaiah 48, O that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. That we want to realize that as we follow the Lord, it's the thing, as he's leading, and if we're obeying his leading, we know we're going to be walking with him. We know we're going to be safe. And he's going to give us his peace. And a lot of times, as we know we're following him, we have peace in what we're doing. But we want to realize, when we go the other way, when we do our own thing, when we disobey, that's when we miss out on his peace. He speaks about that in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 20, or actually being in verse 19, it says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. He wants to give peace to us. But then it says, But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And so it's the thing, is that when we are in disobedience to his word, we're not loving it and following it as we should, that's going to be a place where there is no peace. Because really, we're fighting against God. And we're not going to win that battle. But instead, when we're following Him, when we're loving His Word, we're obeying His Word, we're taking repeated steps in what He wants us to do, that's when we find His peace. And the more we do that, that flow of peace within us becomes stronger and stronger. But then thirdly, we recognize that we can find His peace as we pray unto Him. And if you return to me to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, we read this already, but it says that we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the idea, if God's peace is to guard us and to garrison us, then it comes as we pray. And so it says, be careful for nothing. Anything that we are full of care about, that we are anxious about, He says, pray about it. That needs to be our response. That our reaction in the flesh is to panic, to worry, to get upset, and think that God has abandoned us and we're all alone. Whereas instead, we see it, we say, Lord, I need help with this, I need you to deal with this, it's beyond what I can handle, and we just cast our care upon Him. And as we do that, then He gives us that peace that we need. And that is the blessing of His peace, that it does pass all understanding, that it's... And for those around us, a lot of times when we have it, it makes no sense because they look at us and it's like, how can you still be calm with everything that's happening? And we can testify to them that it's not because of myself, it's because of Him. It's because He's given me this peace. And it is His gift, it is His calling for us as His people, and He wants to guide us into the way of peace. And so we want to recognize that work that He's seeking to do, that it is for our own good, it's really for our own emotional and mental and spiritual and physical health in many ways, to bring us to that place of peace, that we can have that peace in the midst of struggles. But as well as we learn to have that, we realize God can use that in a great way to be a testimony to those around us. Because when everyone else in this world is experiencing turmoil and is seeking peace and can't find it, but yet they see that we have it, then that'll cause them to ask, what is the secret? What do you have? And he says, I have Jesus in my life. I have a relationship with Him. And as I've been focusing on Him, following His Word, taking my worries to Him in prayer, I can have this peace. And as they see it, that they would desire to have that same peace that we enjoy. So may the Lord help us in that, that we would just recognize that we are in His hand, that we're safe with Him, that He's got everything handled. Let us trust Him in His Word, and let us learn by the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life of true peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your Word, and we just pray You would help us, Lord, to learn the peace that You're offering us, Lord, and to embrace it and to just experience it fully, Lord. Help us to just set our eyes on You and not on our circumstances, and to just find true peace no matter what happens around us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.